So, at the top of that conversation between Anthony and Jack, you heard Mayor Tom Menino still leading the city in characteristic style through another major event, even in these, the waning days of his mayoralty. Now, we are exactly 2 weeks away from Election Day, and given the fact that this is the first time in more than 20 years that Boston has had the chance to elect a fresh face to City Hall, you'd expect the race to be heating up everywhere, on the ground and on the airwaves. Except this time, that's totally not happening. Television advertising in this mayor's race has instead been pretty much a dud. And it's not as if the two candidates, John Connolly and Marty Walsh, don't have any money to spend, so what gives? Joining us now to dish is John Carroll. He's a professor of communications at Boston University and the scribe behind the Campaign Outsider blog. Hi there, John.
Hi, Meghna.
So I'm waiting for a guest one day to tell me what you just wrote and said, Meghna, is bleep. So tell me, is that a fair critique?
I'm not that guest because it's pretty much true. And you think back to 93, and you know, maybe it's old man disease and my memory failing me, but it seemed a lot more interesting in 93. The race was, it seemed tighter. It was more present. There was a Dorchester state rep, Jim Brett, running against Tom Menino, city councilor, acting mayor, and it was a tough race. And Jim Brett was out there saying, if you like Tom Menino, vote for him. But if not, vote for me. It was very much a confrontational kind of general election.
Okay, so we haven't seen that much confrontation this time around. And on the airwaves, how many ads have there even been since the preliminary?
There have been two TV spots so far. One for John Connolly and one for Marty Walsh, but paid for by a super PAC.
So just two, really?
Just two. That's
okay.
It.
So let's go and go through them here. Here, let's start with the most recent ad. On Friday, the American Working Families Super PAC, the one that you just mentioned, a pro-union group, posted an ad supporting Marty Walsh, and they used a very familiar Boston band. And on it goes with the drop kicks. So what's your take on this ad, John?
This is quite a tribute. They say, look, we don't change our lyrics for just anybody. Yeah. You know, we're changing them for Marty Walsh, though. And this spot's a 30-second spot. It is a meme machine. It's got everything. It's got Bruins jackets. It's got Fenway Park. It's got Steve Horgan, the policeman who is David Ortiz's personal cheerleader. It's got all these things, all these elements. And Maddie Femea, sign that says that. So it's interesting. I haven't seen it, though. I don't know how much money they're putting behind this. It's not like American Working Families hasn't spent money. They spent about $675,000 so far backing Walsh, but I haven't seen it poured into this particular ad.
Okay, well, the ad also ends with the obligatory Go Sox, we should note. But, of course, that ad, again, is from a super PAC. John, we've yet to see an ad in the general election from Marty Walsh himself.
Right, and this is sort of is the same pattern that he had in the preliminary, which was he held his money back until the last 8 days for television advertising and then did a blitz. On the theory, his campaign people said that if you spread it out too much, it's not going to have the same kind of impact. So it may be that he's waiting for a couple more days and then is going to throw a lot of money into a concentrated period of time.
Okay, well, because we are getting down to that concentrated
right.
period of time with just 2 weeks to go. Well, on the other side of things, John Connolly has released his ad. It focuses on education. This ad came out just about a week ago, and here's a cut from it featuring his wife, Meg.
John knows that if we want a stronger economy and we want safe, healthy neighborhoods, it starts with the schools. He's just got this team of moms and dads and kids. It's a great, great machine to have behind you. Probably the most powerful machine that you could have behind you in this city.
And John Connolly himself shows up at the end of the ad saying, I'm John Connolly, and I'll be your education mayor.
Which is shocking, isn't it?
That's pretty much what he's been hitting hard throughout the campaign.
Yeah, that's been his theme all along. He's been a pretty much of a one-note candidate. This is probably smart. When in doubt, trot out the missus and put her in a spot. I think that
you're such a cynic, though. I mean, he's campaigning on education. It's a family message.
Yeah,
Why not have his wife in the ad?
I get that, but it's a matter of personal charisma, and I think that he made the right choice.
Okay, but on that note about how that he's been hitting education hard, 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 I mean, is there a point in time, again, we're down to the last 2 weeks, where Connolly is going to need to talk more about other issues, economy, public safety, transportation, the casino?
I think it would help. I mean, the casino is right up there, and that's a concern that I can't believe that neither one of them is going to address between now and Election Day. But I think that he's staked his whole campaign on being able to turn out parents, and his sense is this spans all the demographics, that if it's kids in schools, it spans all the demographics, and I get a real cross-section of the city, which is what he would need to win this race.
Well, do you think that's going to work? Because Marty Walsh, on the other hand, is it fair to say he's staking his race on getting union turnout, which in races past has shown to be very effective? Those are voters who do turn out.
It has. When you go to events, I mean, Marty Walsh has 5, 6, 7 times as many people as anybody else at the early debates and the forums, that kind of thing. I think he also has a lot of endorsements that are interesting endorsements and high-profile endorsements, but the question is there going to be turnout behind them? Because endorsements alone don't do very much. We know the union people will turn out. The question is, you know, will the Arroyo forces, will the Charlotte Gola Ritchie forces, John Barrow's forces, will they turn out as well?
Okay, so let's talk about the third ad or a piece of advertising in the race so far. It hasn't been put out by either candidate. And it doesn't even seem to be in support of either candidate, but it's from the Environmental League of Massachusetts. Let's listen to a bit of that. And that's really all we can listen to, because the video just shows a water flooding down what looks like Boylston Street, and it looks like there's a person struggling to get above the water, and it asks the question, when the next superstorm hits Boston, will our new mayor be prepared? Now, climate change, and especially in a city like Boston, is an important issue, but John, what do you think the point is of this ad?
Well, I think the point is to get themselves noticed, for one thing, to also try to set the agenda to some degree, to say this should be driving the conversation at some point. This is a web ad, so it's not like they're putting a lot of money behind it. And really, it's what's called a news ad. It's there to get news coverage. It's not there so much to run as an ad. And what they're trying to do is insert this issue into the race.
Okay, John, so let's circle back to my sort of snarky beginning to this. That it just seems like advertising as a whole in this mayoral campaign has been kind of a dud. Does that surprise you, especially in this day and age where it's easier to reach people than ever through, you know, their phones and social media?
Yeah, I checked out the social media presence of the two candidates, and they're there, but they're not there in real force. And you looked at that as sort of the retail advertising for a younger generation. I don't think that that's quite how it's worked. And, this is the first competitive race we've had since 93. I think a lot of people are disappointed that this didn't come out a little bit stronger.
All right. Well, finally, we should mention that also things haven't really gone negative yet, except for there was one recent mailer that was sent out by a third party called Working America PAC, which is a different one than the other sort of union-based one we mentioned a little earlier. It has a picture of Marty Walsh on one side and the caption underneath him saying, tested, tough, a leader for all of us. And under a picture of John Connolly, it says, privileged corporate lawyer. Now, the Walsh campaign condemned that flyer. So what does that tell you?
Well, they're worried about the backlash. I mean, they really can't control what this independent expenditure group does. They're not allowed to coordinate with them. But Marty Walsh made it clear, I don't really want this kind of support. The fact that John Connolly was a corporate lawyer is the best kept secret of the campaign. I think that has not come out very much at all. So I understand their objective. I think they went about it the wrong way. Marty Walsh does not want the backlash that would come from this kind of a campaign.
All right. Well, we've got 2 weeks left to go in the campaign. John Carroll is a professor of communications at Boston University and the brain behind the Campaign Outsider blog. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you, Magna.
And stay with us. Still to come on the program, Survival Lessons. Novelist Alice Hoffman pens her first nonfiction book about moving forward after surviving cancer. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.